على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من يثنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القار والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل حول من الأحوال مقتحم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله مولانا الحق. Before starting our talk proper, by way of introduction, a few reminders for all of us, including myself. A reminder is always beneficial, and if a person is reminded, then many things that we think we were doing, we used to do, we forgot on the way, we are reminded to start doing them again. So one thing which we are encouraged very greatly is the recitation of Duruj. So may Allah give us tawfiq that we, if we have slipped up and we forgot again, we start with our Duruj. And the bare minimum is 10 times every morning, 10 times every evening. And that doesn't even take 10 seconds. The shortest durood the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to read was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 times, so it just takes about 10 seconds. Let us read it now, I would like to get that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Qiyamah, in an authentic hadith it comes, that the person who reads 10 times durood in the morning and in the evening at night, then Nabi Ali Salatu wa Salam sifarish shafa'at will benefit that person on the day of Qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah, what a frightening day it will be. A person will want to stick onto a straw to get wet. But just by reading this durood, we will get the shafa'at of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then on the day of Jumu'ah, we increase our durood. As much as we can increase, we should try and increase our durood. And another thing that we should remind ourselves also is to try to learn the sunnahs of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The learning of them in itself, just the learning of the sunnah, is a very great thing. And Allah loves it very greatly, any person who is learning the sunnah. Whether it is in our maktabs they are learning sunnahs, whether it is in the darul ulooms, whether it is when we go out in jamaat, whether it is in the halqa, any and every sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Panipuri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that Allah loves the sunnahs. From his point, his angle of explaining it, that Allah loved every sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala made the four madhabs also. For example, to make rafi yadayn, which the Shafi'is do, is also sunnah. So Allah made that alive. And not to make rafi yadayn, which the Hanafis do, is also sunnah. So Allah kept that also alive. say Ameen loudly is also Sunnah. So Allah kept that also alive. And to say Ameen softly is also Sunnah. So Allah kept all the Sunnah. Allah loved the Sunnah so greatly that Allah made it that every Sunnah will remain alive in the world. So the Sunnah are very beloved to Allah. Then secondly, may Allah bless us with the love of every Sunnah. Perhaps we cannot practice for whatever reason, our weakness, our laziness, whatever it is. But we should have that love in our heart for every Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And third is to practice it. That is the main thing. Allah give us all tawfiq to practice the Sunnah. And Sunnah have got a great, tremendous magnetic force. Once we were in the Haram of Makkah Sharif, and some brothers wanted to meet, so they came back, and they were Jamaat brothers. They explained very many years ago, they went to Japan in Jamaat. When they went there, so it was those days when the seats were hardly available, there were no masjids or anything. One Buddha, he offered his temple for the Jamaat to stay. He said, they asked him how much. He said, no, you are men of God, you are men Allah wala, so we can stay free. They say, the third day he came and he said, I want to accept Islam. And he and his whole family accepted Islam. So then he said, I'm sure the next question is going to ask me why I want to accept Islam. He said, naturally, that is you want to know. So he said, give me one man of your Jamaat who is the strongest. In deen also, and body wise also, is the strongest man. They gave him, he told him to stand by the wall. And within about a minute, with whatever they drew and all the things, he dropped him on the ground. So he said, you see what power we have got. But I've seen in the 3 days, the Sunnah you people are practicing, how you are going, has got much more power than this. Only thing is, Allah has kept it closed. We will see in the Akhirat that he was, and yeah, in this world also, but we don't see. But every Sunnah, what a magnetic force it has got. What power. This Mawlana Muhammad Umar Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, should say, this one finger which we pick up in Tashahud, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That finger of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam split the moon into two. So much power, and we are also picking up that finger. So this power, the Sunnah, has got great magnetic, it attracts people. It's got a great natural attraction. And also, it has got great power in it. May Allah put it into our hearts to understand that what great power and Qudrat Allah has put in Sunnah, and what treasure, what power Allah Ta'ala has given us in the lifestyle of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah let us practice the Sunnah also, and then to propagate the Sunnah, to try and teach them to other people, at least at home, our family people, or more our friends, etc., whoever we are in contact with, to try and just make muzakra. Today one said, condition of ours is also, we speak about dunya, we meet friends, family we go home, we speak something about dunya, and we are very comfortable with it. But the minute we speak about me, then people become uncomfortable with it. That now it seems now what happened, why is talking of me? Whereas we must make the effort that the talk of deen must be always there. And a person gets happy when we talk about deen. Even the family, with the children. Today we went to speak tell our children a little bit about namaz, verse or something. You see, they are just illusion. They are not happy with it. Speak about sports, speak about anything else. You can see how excited they become. And how happy they become. So this is a condition we have to work and we have to worry about it. Our condition has deteriorated so much that with the talks of deen, we are not happy. With the talks of dunya and kuffar sports, and all kuffar things, their passions, etc., that we are very happy and we are comfortable and we are home. So we should try and work that wherever we can, bring the talk of deen. Explain about sunnah, the benefits of sunnah. May Allah give me and us all tawfiq. Another thing that we have to make muzakara and remind ourselves continuously, that Allah makes us in our lives namaz our object of life. That namaz is the most important thing in my life. After iman, namaz is the most important. On the day of Priyama, first thing a person will be questioned about will be about his Samas. If his Samas comes out right, everything else will be right. And if the Samas is not right, then what will the condition be of that person? On one occasion, in the Vaikas in Vizama Games, they were having games, and that time, I don't know now, but when they should sit to eat, the water, the jug of water shouldn't be put on the tablecloth on the distant part. Somebody should walk around, and whenever anyone wants water, he gives it to him. So this person who was giving water to drink, the glass fell from his hand. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas looked up at him and told him, it looks like your namaz is still not correct. In other words, if your namaz should be correct, the glass did not fall from your hand. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas also said that if a person works on anyone's namaz, on your own namaz, somebody else's namaz, then actually you are working on the whole deen of that person. Because if namaz comes right, your whole deen will come correct. And when your deen is correct, your dunya also will be corrected, your akhirat will also be made. So it's a little caption, namaz, one thing, work on it. On one occasion, in the Darul Uloom in Azhar, there was a nikah taking place, they asked me to say a few words. So this came by the way, when I spoke about it, that it is mustahab in namaz, that when we are in a standing position, our eyes should be at the sajda. When we go in ruku, it should be on our toes, our feet. When we go in sajda, we should focus it on our tip of the nose. We can't see the tip of our nose. We should not close our eyes anywhere in namaz also. Not even in sajda. We should focus it on the nose. And all this that I'm saying, that is not going to be that it's a bayan we are learning, or that I have to say, or that bayan has been arranged, but inshallah with the niyat of making amal, that it comes into our lives. So we focus it on the tip of our nose. When we are in a sitting position, then in our left, we should focus our eyes. When we make in salam, then to the malaika, kiram and kathleen, who are yet, we should focus on them. How many of us now we make maghrib, we make sunnahs of maghrib, each one asks ourselves, if we think about the kiram and kathleen, now when we make salam. How are we, did we think of that? And in jamaat namaz, when we make all the people on that side, all the people on this side, jinnat also are present, and we don't have to be frightened of jinnat, the pious, they also join for namaz. And the side of the imam is, we should make his niyat. How many of us that did that? We are still very, very weak in this, each one of us, we can see for ourselves. So anyway, I mentioned this, and it was over finished, the whole thing was over. After about 2 months, one brother phoned me and he told me, Maulana, I've got a terrible disease of casting lustful gazes on women. Or rather, I'm a married man and a very pious man. Very righteous and pious, but I've got this great weakness and this great disease of casting lustful gazes on women. And I hated this habit of mine also. And I hated myself for it. And I tried everything I couldn't get out of it. I made a second nikah, he was really genuine, just so that I can stay out of it. I made a second nikah, but still it persisted. And then he says, this prescription of yours, what you gave, which is a mustahab of namaz, and not my prescription, it is our sharia, our deen has taught us. One tariqa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. He says, now the 2 months I've practiced it, 100% now my eyesight is under control. Now I don't. So if our namaz comes right, everything else, our tongue will come right. Many of us, our tongue is out of control. What and what we speak, how we speak, our thoughts are out of control. What and what, and eyes also, our is generally out of control. Some of us, our hands also, we give, we abuse the wife, we get all these complaints. So a lot of it. But if we just work on namaz, we make namaz, namaz, what is called namaz. First of all, that we see our istinja is correct. And then our wudu is correct. And one thing in wudu today, lot of israf we are making. Wastage of water. And that is across the board. When we make it from the tap generally, the water is just running. And we are, the water is being wasted all the time. And
equator and
the sea. Allah give us topic to make with the wood to make wudu
and see how little water is required to make wudu.
And when it's wastage, when it's israf, then what goodness will come after giving that namaz also? And when you know israf and wastage in the wudu, and some of us, Allah guide us all, that our talking while we are making wudu, we are talking with the person next to us,
water is running, we are talking here, and we are wasting water like this,
then what will be the quality of that namaz?
How will we be in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
And it's not only the israf,
there are many, and so much they eat. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was where one person was making wudu, next week, and he used a little bit more water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it's wastage, don't use so much water.
So he said, can there be wastage in wudu also?
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if you are in the rubber bank, at the seashore you are taking water from there and that water falls back in there. But if you use extra modest amount, that also is israf.
That also is israf. So how much, and we are so guilty of this.
So Allah Ta'ala give us sofi that we learn and this to make wudu the sunnah method. And there are so many great things in wudu. What great, great treasures Allah Ta'ala has kept in wudu. Allah give us the sofi to learn.
Alhamdulillah, there are plenty of ulama around us.
So stay in their company. Go to them. Learn.
When we go in jamaat, let us become conscious.
Take some kitab on the sunnah from reliable ulama.
And follow and learn it when we are in the jamaat.
When you are in the khalifa, learn more and more sunnahs also.
And with the niyat of practicing and to bring it into our practice.
And then to propagate it also.
Wherever we can, let us propagate the sunnahs also.
Allah Ta'ala give us all this tawfiq.
One more reminder.
And that is to make dua regularly, daily at least once for our parents. To make dua regularly for our parents. This is also a very important thing.
And the Quran commands it in so much places.
And then generally Allah has put the commandment of being good to one's parents together with tawheed and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Which on ulama Muqaddimi say, it shows how important the right of the parents are. Which today we are really generally neglecting. Today with our family ties, we as close as possible, brothers, sisters,
with parents, we haven't got that relationship.
And this is also, it's a thing that is dying out from us. Allah Ta'ala bring it alive
and at least to make dua.
At least once a day to make dua for our parents.
And the great, which is our duty, Allah has put it a responsibility on us.
Even if our parents are healthy, they are self-sufficient,
they can manage on their own.
But at least to make dua and how much khidmat we can make. And when we study the kitab, we see what great in'am, what great favors Allah showered on those people who looked after their parents. And if you get your parents' dua, your father's dua, your mother's dua, understand your dunya is made.
Allah Ta'ala will open your dunya for you.
So by making dua for our parents, Allah will give us a lot of barakat in our dunya. And where we are negligent in that, then the opposite becomes
severe. Warnings have been sounded for those who disobey their parents.
So much so that we shouldn't even say like the word ask, oof. Anything like that,
we shouldn't on our face also show any dislike or anything for anything they tell us. Allah bring us. Today we can't understand it.
That is another point, I'll just mention that now. Today our minds are fully like a westernized mind. Call it westernized, call it modern, call it liberal, call it western, whatever we have to call it, but we know what type of a life. That life, we have taken Islamic values in that life. That's a different life. And we always want the fruit of Islam, but we have to live a life which is contrary to Islam.
My beloved Ustad, Hazrat Hafiz Muhammad Sallallahu Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to be in Germiston.
He used to say that if you plant weeds, you can't expect roses to grow. And to nobody plants weeds. Weeds grow on their own, they just come.
And you have to pull out. If you don't take out the weeds, your whole garden will be destroyed.
weeds will take the water which you,
or even water your garden.
The weeds won't let the flowers and roses and your vegetables get it.
The weeds take it away.
And they live more strongly, and they will kill off all the other things. Weeds have to be taken out. But if a person is planting weeds,
and then he expects roses to grow, it's an impossible thing.
We live a life against Islam. We bringing up our children in unhappiness which are totally against Islam. And now we have reached that stage that even our beliefs which are totally against Islam, our children are brought up with those beliefs also.
Whether it's Darwin's theory of evolution,
whether it is the Big Bang theory,
whether it is where matter cannot be created, matter cannot be destroyed,
they believe that Allah Ta'ala is that great being that there was nothing.
Allah created everything from nothing.
And not from this raw material Allah made this.
No, from nothing.
And Allah has got that qudrat that everything Allah can make it into nothing.
It's a thing not easy for us to comprehend.
But Allah is a part. Wara'ullah. Where can we understand? Where can we? Ma'aradna ta'hafta ma'arifati.
Allah's position
so high. والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا
is from Allah. But that we believe in it.
We can understand, we don't understand. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Khani Rahmatullah Ali, he said that
there are many things which I also don't understand.
So I've kept one account of all the things which I don't understand. And the day I understand it, Allah gives me that understanding, then I move it from that account to the account now of the things which I understand.
So we don't have to understand everything. We do what can, what brains we got also.
How much can we understand?
Iman is to believe, not to understand. We believe in Allah.
Whether we understand or we don't understand,
of course when we get how much more understanding that iman becomes more and more valuable. But we believe in Allah,
آمن to be Allah, kama huwa, بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ
وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِيعَ أَحْكَامِهِ
وَرِكَابِهِ.
I believe in Allah. Finish. That's the end of the story.
So Allah, give us that iman on Allah Ta'ala.
So this sunnah, we were talking of?
Dua for our parents. So Allah give us the topic to make regularly dua for our parents.
If they have passed away,
or even if they are living, or they must say,
even for living people you can make Isal Sawab, it will reach them also.
So Isal Sawab is basically for those who have passed away.
So if our parents have passed away,
on a daily basis, you make Isal Sawab for them.
Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, has written that if a child was disobedient to his parents in his lifetime,
parents have passed away, Allah still hasn't closed the door.
Visit their qabr regularly on a Friday,
and then because of that Allah will rewrite you as an obedient child.
How kind is not Allah. After we have really destroyed ourselves completely, Allah still left the door open.
And still we can turn to Allah, and you will still be written as an obedient child.
So Allah give us tawfiq.
Together with that, one other very important thing is our asatiza and our mashayikh. Don't forget them in our life. By being good to our parents, our dunya will open. Allah will give barakah, protection, everything of goodness of in this dunya. And when we make dua for our asatiza, our ustad.
And that ustad also that taught us alif ba ta. It may be a lady also, after when we went to madrasa.
And she taught us also, whoever taught us, make dua for them also. And all our mashayikh, through whom deen has come to us. And the greatest treasure of deen that we have got. And our asatiza, they bring out of their way and they are teaching. And if we have to study from the beginning, from Nabi Ali Salat Wasalam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, what sacrifices they made. The great Arima al-Shahideen, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, all of the great, great people, what sacrifices. They went to jail for the sake of deen. They tolerated lashes and punishment for the sake of deen. But they carried on.
Then later, all the muhaddithin,
Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, we take his name with great enjoyment. But just to take the name of Imam Bukhari, what Imam Bukhari had to go through. before we can have the Sahih al-Bukhari today. How much sacrifice, and it can be anyone else. This is the path that we make great. So if we remember them in our dua, Allah will give barakah in our deen. Today one common thing is also that on that I'm going to pass away. And I'm coming back to that again. That our minds and our hearts today are not Islam. They are just modernized. They are liberalized. They are westernized. So we think of everything in that light. Whereas if the heart becomes, and it comes in the hadith, there is a piece of flesh in the body. If that is right, the whole body will be right. So, and for that, that dua is very, very important. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala for us also, our children. Our children, when we speak, or that we were speaking, we speak about sports, you speak about fashion and all the things. There are many cars you speak about, aeroplanes you speak about. They're very happy. Just start talking about deen, let's have a little bit ta'aleem now, then you see nobody is happy about it. So just our mindset has to change. And for that, dua is very, very important. No matter, now we're making bayan perhaps 1 hour, but how much dua do we make? Dua level is the change of the heart. And we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make effort on our children. We give them clothes, we feed them, shelter, everything. But sincerely ask ourselves, how much do we make dua for our children? And then the dua must correspond with the dawa. With how we are bringing them up. If we are trying to bring them up, and mashallah, there are many parents who go out of their way to bring their children up Islamically. But perhaps the aspect of dua was neglected, and still the children, when they face a problem with those children also. So dua is a very important thing, our connection with Allah. Our Shaykh Abdul Qanana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. It is written that he should go regularly for Umrah, and he should hold the zilaf, the parda of the Kaaba Sharif, and make dua, earnest dua for his son, known as Mazhar. So his only son, that, oh Allah, accept him for the sake of me. Oh Allah, make him yours. Hazrat Mir Sahib says on one occasion, after they made Maghrib Namaz, they were going from the masjid to the Khanqah to the house, and they were steps. There was nobody else around. Mir Sahib was at the back. Hazrat was in front. Then Hazrat stopped on the steps and started making dua. Oh Allah, accept my son for jihad. Let him become shaheed in front of my eyes. Let me see that he has given his life for the sake of you. So like that, who of us make dua for our children? Like that, some banana or somebody buys stuff, then we say make dua, Allah make him hafiz. But we ourselves, really, when do we take out that time that, oh Allah, give my children a good akhlaq character. I also need it, my children, everyone we need it, that earnestness in dua. Today, how much time do we take out for dua? Perhaps we do take out, we are reading Munajat-e-Maqbool with beautiful Azam, but really the dua, and the dua which really has got effect is from the heart. We then were talking at lunchtime on this, when Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Patel of German, Dhamad Barakatum, was also with, and we were talking about this aspect of making dua. So after that he came to me one night and he told me, they are running plenty makatibs, primary madrasas, who are doing makatibs. So one day the inspector, the female apa, phoned me and told me, you have to come here immediately, I've got a serious problem. So he said, I can't come immediately. Anyway, then he reached whenever. So she said, this boy here, for 28 years, I can't keep him in my class. So he tried to explain, she said, 3 days ago, he trusted one to another student, that student almost died. The next day, this partition, he broke a whole partition. The third day, he had a fight with somebody else. I can't keep him in my class. So he tried to explain, and then he said, okay, let me call the mother. Mother was just not staying very far, she came. They explained to her, she started crying. She said, this morning the school principal called me, and he told me, take this boy, we can't handle this boy. And now you people are telling me, you can't handle the boy in madrasa. Now, another female apa was hearing from the other class. So she came there and she told, it's okay, I will keep this boy. And then she told the mother, I'm just making it short, see, you have to help me. I'm going to work. every night tahajjud time you must get up and you must make dua time.
And I will phone you tahajjud time. I will also make dua for him.
You also make dua for him.
So in this combination, effort and dua they make.
After about 4 or 5 months, there was some occasion in the madrasa, so they got some burgers for the students.
And then one
student complained, burgers and no cold drink. So just saying, God, he said, make sabah.
You make shukar.
You are getting burgers. What you are asking? How he had changed completely. He became a modern student. This is the effect of dua. Today we commonly need Allah to give us. Our own children also,
our madrasa children, little problem,
excellent. But dua, how much do we make dua for them?
And that's the end.
We just hear from our elders
that they used to get up at tahajjud time
and whenever there was a problem child, more dua from their child. And lot of dua
and from their heart.
Allah give us tahajjud.
So anyway, dua for our parents also,
dua for our mashayikh also, they have done a lot for us. The ayat al-kareemah that I've recited, this is one place the ulama has written, the most qasams Allah Ta'ala has taken. Allah, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا.
Who can say a truer word?
But Allah has taken so many qasams, and all that was to convince us that what I am saying, it is kalamullah, the word of Allah. It is in the Quran, which is the absolute, dot by dot, zabar by zabar, zair by zair. The Quran is a perfect, complete kitab which Allah has protected, and Allah will protect it till the day of Qiyamah. In that kitab, Allah has taken so many qasams, from washamsi wa duhaha, right through, how many qasams.
And then, yeah, Allah Ta'ala takes qasams,
wa nafsiyun wa ma sawwaha. This nafs of ours,
this body of ours,
some ulama explain it in that way, and how balanced Allah has made it. And if we just have to think of this human body, in fact, the greatest proof of the existence of Allah is you yourself, O insan. How did Allah make you? وَفِي أَنْبُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you just look in yourself, you'll see the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And the greatest proof of the wahdaniyat and tawheed of Allah Ta'ala is also you yourself, O insan. You just look in yourself and you will see what is this great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Any person, not an ordinary person, who is not a doctor, not a medical man, but Allah gave us all, any problem he gets in the knee, about the eye, any part, now he's going to doctors, they're explaining it. In a little while, it looks like he's a doctor. He knows all the terms, he's explained things. This, that, this has to be like this. This has to be like that. This has to be like that. And every part of the body. And even the blood, how many parts there in blood? Blood is not just blood. Cholesterol is not just cholesterol. There are so many things in it. And all this, the creator of all this, one Allah. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. On one occasion, a Canadian doctor, non-Muslim at that time, he wrote a medical book and showing that how the child is formed in the womb of the mother, how from step to step, from the semen to a clot of blood, from that piece of flesh, all the whole details. And then at the end of the book, he appealed to all the people of the world, if there is anyone who can give us more information on this, but not from a medical point of view. From any other source, medical, we got everything. We got our x-rays, we got our saunas, and we do everything, we know all that. But from another point, a Malaysian doctor wrote me references of the ayat of the Quran. That how Allah Ta'ala has created this insan. When he studied that, he accepted Islam. And his medical books still today are taught in medical schools. And most probably he's still alive also. And more he's explaining how Allah Ta'ala, how Allah has created this insan. The word alaq, the three different meanings he explains about it. And how every meaning is perfectly, practically shown in the womb of the mother. How it goes from one stage to another. So this is the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, this nafs Allah has made it. With all the value and today we can see our whole importance that we attach to anything is about our body. All the time we are one. A person apprehends on getting some sickness, and today our lifestyle again is that non-Islamic lifestyle. I got medical aid, I got medical insurance, so I must use it. Why must I let it go? So for any small thing also, go to doctor, go to the hospital, because I must use that money. So for this human body, we are so worried about it. From morning to night, we are worried of the body. Then not only our health, but the comfort of the body. If it's winter, I must have nice heaters in my house. If it's summer, I must have nice fans and air conditioners in my house. If it's any other thing, I must have a swimming pool for the enjoyment and for everything else. I must have a nice garden. It is all for this body. Everything is for this body. If it is my motor car, then I need the motor car, the service of the motor car, the petrol or diesel for the motor car. Everything is for the body. And if you go look around here in Binoni, in the area, anywhere in the world, there is time for all these things connected with the body. There is more than enough in design. There are schools which is also to learn and to give the body all the comfort, etc. There are hospitals, and how many hospitals, and how many different types of hospitals, and all that is also for this body. Then you will find garages, you will find service stations, everything you will see is just for the body. And with the body, we all know that this body is formed in the mother's womb, and after about 4 months, 4 months, 10 days, roughly there, Allah puts the ruh in the body. And that ruh Allah created. And it was in the realm, the alam al-arwah. And Allah presented Himself in front of all the arwah. And He asked them, Alastu bi rabbikum, and I am not your Rabb. And I am the one who created you, who nourishes you, who sees to all your needs. When insan saw it, when the ruh saw that, they all said, Bala, undoubtedly, Ya Allah, you are our Rabb. As the test Allah put us in this world now. Now Allah has camouflaged and hidden that rububiyat of His in the asbab, in the means of this dunya. That we have a shop, we earn, you have a job, you earn, you have food, you cook, you eat, and then you sustain yourself. Allah has put it. But the real thing was the ruh, the lesson the ruh learned that Allah is my Rabb. Now for that, we have to, that is what Allah wants, that we came, Allah gave us that capital of knowing that my ruh, that in my ruh, by the ruh knows Allah is my Rabb. And I have to go with that also. With that iman, call it La ilaha illallah. That when we die, we must die. That there is nobody else who can do anything. Allah is the sole doer of each and everything. So we have to have that yaqeen within us. Now the body, it goes to material things all the time. Because the body is made from sand and stone of this dunya, sand and water, and the ruh has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it looks, there is a clash between the two. The ruh wants to go to Allah and know that Allah is to be pleased. Allah is the doer of everything. Nafs goes towards dunya. It inclines towards dunya. So this clash is always there. So we have to make this effort that the ruh becomes powerful and controls the nafs. At the moment what is happening, for the vast majority of us, our nafs is controlling the ruh. And when the nafs is controlling, the nafs wants everything of this dunya. And nafs, one desire of the nafs also, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. That everything we want it now. Not now, we want it yesterday. Maybe it was done yesterday. I want my pleasure now. A person will see that how we have been blinded when we haven't made effort on our what is called Islam. And what is Islam? To put the ruh in charge, not the nafs in charge. The nafs has come in charge. Now remove the nafs. He doesn't belong to him. Somebody has stolen your business. Now you have to get rid of him and you have to take over the business again. In some countries we went and we saw adverts many places. Properties are for sale, sold by original owner. So I asked him, why do you have to write this? It's natural, the original owner. They say, no. Yeah, other people go to the deeds office, they got connection, they put it on their name. And the next you get a warrant from the police, they come to you and they say this house belongs to so and so, you must get out of this house. You bought it, your house, you living in it,
you did everything there, and now you have to move out.
So it's not yours. So like that,
nafs has taken control.
Allah put the ruh in control, but today our nafs is in control. And when the nafs is in control, this haywire that we are seeing in the world, everything so chaotic, etc., is just because the nafs is in control, and the nafs wants everything done now.
So I was explaining,
a person is a diabetic, for example. And when we haven't made islah of our nafs, then when you go for a dawah, anywhere else, at home also,
and there's something which you should not be eating. Doctor says
you are diabetic, you can't have this, you can't have that.
But we say, no, I'll have it, I'll take an injection, extra insulin, I will say.
We haven't got that control on our nafs.
That I have to stay away from this.
So in that way, everything, our dunya things also, there are many things that nafs enjoy. Our children, generally we take that example,
but we are the same also.
That we just want things that suit us. Things that are good for us, and now we need to see what we can enjoy, that we want. Now this islah is to bring them that we don't see what I'm enjoying or what is going to please me, what will please Allah. And our Shaykh Allah reward him and bring us to that level where Allah in his time will bring us there. He said that even if you have given up 99% guna, there is still one guna, still you are not successful.
And that one guna also you have to give up,
and you must say to yourself, even if I have to die, but I won't commit that guna.
No matter what happens,
like this to speak is easy, but when the time comes now,
then we see how difficult it is.
That the person springs away from that guna,
when the temptation comes into a person,
and it comes like a burning fireball within that person,
and a person just wants to, he can't do anything else, but he wants to fulfill
that desire of his at that time.
Ask a person who smokes cigarettes.
Yeah, at that time when he longs for that cigarette, how? He can't do it.
A drug addict, Allah save us all.
All this type of guna that they are there,
people with their cell phones.
Hey, one friend, Allah give him jannah, he has passed away. He says at night, there wasn't time of cell phone and all that. I look at one filthy film at night till 11 o'clock.
And then I just can't help it. I put another filthy film
till 1 o'clock at night.
And now all my desires have been aroused.
Now I go to my wife and I wake her up 1 o'clock in the morning.
How can she now satisfy you?
When she's in a deep sleep and you're waking her up.
So just see, this nafs that is there, it is a terrible thing. It destroys us completely.
So, and we are not aware of this also. Like that, if we think a little, we know the nafs is here, my ruh is here.
But we don't really, it's not so common.
Like about anything else we will know.
My car gets dented,
this goes wrong, that goes,
we know what is the harm. But about our nafs, which is there,
and which is the most important thing in our life.
That is, the nafs must be brought under control.
Call it discipline,
call it taqwa,
call it islah,
call it tazkiyah, call it tasawwuf.
All of it is one thing that we have to learn to control this nafs of ours.
And for that, there is a definite way of doing it. We cannot do it on our own.
We have to follow a certain way, and it's a short process
generally.
And that you go through the process properly and you get your nafs under control,
and then everything else will fall in place.
Also with regard to this, we have just to explain it a bit more, that the nafs, it wants immediate results. You are driving on the road, traffic cop stops you. You are speeding, you have gone over the limit.
And perhaps you've gone over that limit
where now they have to lock you. You went right over the limit.
So one easy way, what nafs will tell you?
Just give him a 200 rand note. Give him a 100 rand note
and everything is sorted out.
But the actual thing is that I did wrong, I must pay for it now. And you have to go through it. May Allah protect us all.
At that stage, how many of us will prepare to go the right route?
All of us generally will just opt for the wrong route. Okay? And we will have enough things to justify it also.
One time I visited a friend, this time we were not so close, but we visited him, and he had a board in his office, Ar-Rashi wal-Murtashi kilahuma finna. Ordinary businessman, big businessman. I was surprised
that we as who are called ulama, And we are not really so conscious about this also, that the giver of a bride and the taker of a bride, both will be in the fire of heaven. And today it is so common that there are certain diseases and causes that have conditions which are existing, all the corruption, etc. The muftis will explain to us. But today we are doing wrong openly. And we're going out of our way to do our business with brides also. To get our goods from overseas, we know what corruption we are getting involved in. So all this, so what is the nafs wants this immediately. And the correct thing is that over a period you go through that difficulty. And then, and when you do your Islam, you won't find it also a difficulty. Allah will make it easy, Allah will make it palatable, Allah will make it enjoyable that difficulty also you go through. And you will be happy that you are going through it. And then the result will come at the end. And there are enough instances where parents, they brought their children up with little bit. They made sabr. They did not go into extra expenses, they did not go to the bank for loans. They said, if we can afford it, we will take it, we won't do anything wrong. They lived their whole lives like that. The children were brought up in that difficult condition, but then Allah gave the results in the children. And the parents are enjoying it. Today, we want dunya. You tell anyone, you have difficulty making sabr, how much sabr must I make? I'm tired of making sabr. How much? Sabr is still more. And the fruit of sabr will be in the qabr. There we will get the fruit of sabr. But we want it, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجِيُّنَا. Man wants everything now. See, for me to speak now is easy. But if I'm confronted now with the thing, so all we have to work together. We are all in need of this Islam, and we are in need of it till more. Till more comes and overtakes us, till that time we are in need of Islam. So we have to continuously be at it, and we have to bring the nafs under control and put the ruh in charge. And so for the nafs, we know, as I explained, there are so much of facilities, shops, institutions, everything for the nafs. But for the ruh, do we find anything like that? Do we find hospitals for the ruh? Do we find even a talk about the ruh? Now little bit we are hearing. Jummah time, bayan we hear, if we're going jamaat we hear, some ulama come, they make some bayan. And how many of us are having ta'aleem in the house? How many of us read some deeni kitabs? And that also with the intention of our Islam, that we're reading those deeni kitabs. One is for ilm, mubarak, mashallah. But one is to read it, and on the way, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, what a beautiful prescription he has given. When a person has a certain malady, spiritual illness, whatever it can be, anger, eyes out of control, tongue is out of control, whatever it can be, two things he gives basically, and that is, read the kitab of our akabi, of our pious elders. Just the reading of that kitab, تَنْزَلُ الرَّحْمَةِ إِنَّ ذِكْرِ الصَّالِحِينَ. Just when the Salihin are mentioned, Allah's rahmat starts coming down. So when we will read that, that spiritual thing, that effulgence, that ruhani thing, that will change the heart. And then the life, how they live, that is also going to help us. The second thing Maulana says, keep on, like for example, your eyes are not under control. Read those ahadith, etc., in which are the warnings of the guna of the eyes, in which are the warnings of the guna of the tongue. Read that regularly. Thirdly, then he says, after that, when the occasion of guna comes now, you are already at the weak. Now don't become weak. Now maintain that strong position of yours. Don't commit that guna. You want to speak, you want to swear, you want to, whatever wrong you want to use your tongue for, don't use. Your eyes want to see wrong. Now don't look at it. You will be out of that. So just by reading the books of our pious elders, how they lived and what their lives were, there's a tremendous effect. And then secondly, that we read the wa'id, the warnings of that particular guna, whatever it is. And thirdly, whenever that desire will come and the opportunity comes of that guna, don't commit it. Restrain yourself and you'll be completely safe from it. The khulasa of all this is that we have got our nafs also, we have got our ruh also. The ruh has to be in charge. But at the moment, the nafs is in charge. And if the rope comes in charge and takes over, everything will go smooth. And from there then will come the love of Allah Ta'ala also. The first part is our Islam, our remedy. Then will come the great love of Allah Ta'ala, which is also a very important and matloo, it's an object in our lives. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us topic, we studied, we went to Jehovah also, but till how many years of our lives, we really did not know that there is a thing like the love of Allah also. We knew we must make jamaat, we tried how much we could and how we could, all other things also, but really it was without that love of Allah. We took it as a duty, which is also very good, that we fulfill our duties, but when we do it with love, it is a complete different thing. One simple example, husband and wife are living together, on the way, they lost the love for one another, they lost their trust for one another, problems in their lives, now for the sake of the children, for the sake of society and the family, they are just staying together. No love between them. What kind of a marriage is that? They are staying, they are fulfilling one another's right, but there is no love. And one is where there is love between the two. And everything, what a wonderful enjoyment is not that life. Where there is love between the husband and wife, and they enjoy to be with one another in good times, difficult times, they are there to support one another, what a great difference. Exactly the same. One is we come for namaz, and we make our namaz as a duty. Alhamdulillah, we discharge our duty, which is a very, very great thing. But one is you have that love of Allah, and you are eager to go to the house of Allah. You didn't wait for the last minute to go. And you are not eager to run out the first minute again. And you are eager to come to the masjid, to be in the masjid, and to find tranquility. You find peace. This is all, and love will come in a person. And this will come afterwards. First, that ruh has to be in charge. When the ruh is in charge, and the ruh, its desire is to go to Allah all the time. When the nafs is in charge, the nafs is, you'll want to be in your shop. You'll want to be doing useless things. You're on holiday, you've got all the time, but you're going to make namaz last minute. And those who make their namaz. And that also a slap dash namaz. Just somehow you make the namaz, namaz is made. Because the nafs is associated with all other things. But when the ruh is in charge, then you'll want to make your namaz, you'll want to make it properly. You will want to give your time for tilawat of Quran, for zikrullah. One person wrote to our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali asking questions of Islam. And he said that, I don't get enjoyment in dua. Hazrat, in a surprising way, replied, how is it you don't get enjoyment in speaking to Allah, the most beloved? Hey, and to speak to Allah, your beloved you speak to. Today you speak to your beloved, how do you enjoy? And to speak to Allah, who is the creator of love, who is the creator of the place of love, the heart. And Allah's love, if that love comes into a person, we will enjoy speaking to Allah. And we will cry to Allah Ta'ala. And we will enjoy it. Somebody will think that you are suffering, but you will know what enjoyment you are getting. Hazrat Muhammad Murtaza Palanpuri, in those days, that example used to give, that Bombay there is one beach which is known as Chopati. Many people frequent it, I suppose, and one particular thing they said there is Chewa, a nice strong Chewa. And a person buys that one packet which they make with a newspaper, like a cone shape, and he eats it, and it's so strong, water is coming out from his eyes. His nose, water is coming, and it seems as though from the ears also water is coming out. So strong it is. When he's finished, he goes and buys another packet. Somebody asked him, you suffered somehow, you finished this packet. Why are you going to buy another packet? He says, you don't know what enjoyment I'm getting inside. Like that, a person, Maulana Muhammad Ali, Allah give us 1 billion prophets. At night, what was he should make for the ummah and cry? What is going to happen to this ummah? And anyone, Allah protect us, who's got little idea about Jahannam, about Jannah, and indeed the Quran Sharif, how can we sleep peacefully? I've got one sickness in me, when I read Quran Sharif, I feel very sleepy. Then I say, have you got Iman? You are reading about Jahannam and you feel sleepy. How can you? You're reading about Jannah and the force of Jannah. and you're still feeling sleepy. How can that be possible? Hey, those things, the fire of Jahannam, and you have to deceive yourself, and you're feeling sleepy at that time. Hey, how can that be possible? It's impossible. That iman of ours we have to deepen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka imani yubashiru qulubina. That iman mixes into our heart and it comes into our heart. When we hear thoughts of deen, that we get influenced by it. Today, me, myself, I'm not influenced. How is somebody else going to be influenced? So this is that islah that we have to work for. We make our islah. It's a slow, it's a short process generally. For some people it takes a bit more longer, but it's not a very long process. And the minute you do it, you have cleansed yourself, and Allah comes into the heart that is clean. This glass, if it is dirty outside, not even dirty, we were eating food. And I was eating with my right hand, and the sunnah tariqah, we eat with our own fingers, not spoon and knife and fork and all that. So the mass of the food, the curry will be here. So when I hold the glass, which we dislike today also, and I'm drinking, it is just the mass of the food on the outside. But when I want to drink again, I don't want to drink in that glass, it's dirty. And forget that the wife will drink. Today, this whole terrible life has come into us. Whereas we all should share the same utensil. And there was one time, commonly I say, that 10 people should eat from one utensil. When there was love, muhabbat, then the food, the effects of it, that muhabbat goes into one another. There was shifa in there. Where the leftover of a mu'min is shifa also. And a lot of other barakat and rahmat. Today, one person needs 10 utensils. And just when count it tomorrow at breakfast time, and see how many utensils you use. We are one person uses 10 utensils. So anyway, this glass, just because the food marks on the outside, I don't want to drink water in this glass. And my wife and my children will share it. The children among themselves will share it out of the question. This is all this terrible mindset we have got. Our hearts have become not rotten, frotten. Totally finish our hearts have become. So, in this glass, when it is dirty just the outside, we don't want to put tap water in there. We don't want to give anyone municipal water. Where will we give them zamzam in that glass? So the heart which is dirty inside, how will Allah come into that dirty heart? So we have to cleanse that heart. All this westernism and liberalism and modernism, whatever it is, take it out, put Islam in there. Put the Madin of Islam, put the sunnahs in there. Put the worry of akhirah, of qadr in there. And then when that will come pure like that, Allah will come. Then you don't have to, aaja meri aankhon mein, samaja meri dil mein, har tamanna dil se rukhsat hoge, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat hoge. When we have cleansed it, Allah comes in that heart. And in whose heart Allah comes, that person, فَلَا تَعْلُمُ نَقْسُمْ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرْوَةِ عَيْلٍ. What enjoyment a person gets in his heart, nobody else will know what enjoyment you are getting. May Allah make these realities in our lives. For that, we are making this effort, that we are informed of it, we come to know about it, and inshallah, on the second, third and fourth of Jamaliyul Ukhra. Third, fourth and fifth of Jamaliyul Ukhra, the 8th, 9th and 10th of February, we'll have a jalsa of this nature, Islahi jalsa, so that we can become conscious of this. That what is this Islah all about? There will be many ulama, different ulama will speak, and we will definitely benefit. At least we will become conscious, I need my Islah. I need my tazkiyah. I need my connection with Allah. We become conscious of it, then what it is all about, that will also be discussed. And then how to go about it and get it done, that will also be discussed. And if Allah Ta'ala shows His mercy upon us, and our Islah is made, wallah, our dunya is, our akhirat is made. Problems will, without any exaggeration, problems will seem to us the end of the world. Allah will make them so easy and remove them that it's just like a joke to us. There was nothing in it. But the thing is, we have to turn to Allah and we have to cleanse ourselves. And these qualities have to come into us. So for that, try inshallah, we come, bring other people also, and that we end with the object of our Islah. And that Islah is for everyone. Like the motor mechanic, he can't just fix up everyone else's car. He has to fix his own car also. Yeah, we have to fix ourselves also. And also, you can't fix yourself also. That your car you can fix, but the doctor who is the top cardiologist in the world, he needs a stent, he needs a bypass, he can't do it himself. He'll have to go to another person who is less than him, but he'll have to go to him, then that person will do his operation for him. So in this way, don't be under this misconception also, I can make my own Islam. This question was put to all the Kabir, that you are a doctor, that I'm a alim, all the Quran I've studied, all the hadith I've studied, I can make my own Islam. No, we can't make our own Islam. We need somebody else to make our Islam. And who our heart tells us that this person will be able to guide me to Allah Ta'ala and put me on the right track. Make our connection with such a person and then we follow his instructions and we follow in this way. And when our Islam is made reasonably, perfect, nobody says more to your Islam. Reasonably it is made, then Allah will come into that heart. And when Allah comes into that heart, the whole world is different for us after that. Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Sahib Mazur Rahmatullah Alayh, who was a government man, like a dunya man, but when he came in this path, he became the sheikh of great, great ulama and great, great muftis. Anyway, he asked us with Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, that Hazra, when a person gets nisbah, connection with Allah now, now his connection with Allah is made, does he know it? Or his peer, right, his other friends have to tell him, or his sheikh has to tell him. What the answer Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayh gave? He said, Khaja Sahib, when you became Baal, physically you became matured. Did your brothers have to tell you now you are matured? Or did your mother or your father have to tell you are now matured? You knew it yourself. Now your interest changed. Now that your friends changed, before your friends were playing kite and flying kite and marble, now we are no more your friends, now you got other friends. Your places of interest have changed now. Now you are interested in something else. Everything changes. The minute a person gets nisbat with Allah, you will see for yourself, now in masjid you find solace. Before you found solace with your cell phone, you found solace in the cafes, you found solace with your friends on the sports ground. Now you sort of hate the sports ground. Now you can't think of it anymore. Before you found solace in music, you should listen. Now you hate yourself for having listened to music also. Now when you hear Quran, somebody else reading Quran, you are just taken aback. Somebody else is making zikrullah, and you are just taken aback. Everything of yours will change now. Your kitab and your books you are reading now, that will change. And now as you progress, it will even have a different flavor and a different meaning, and you will get enjoyment. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with these realities. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Oh Allah, change our hearts. Oh Allah, turn our hearts towards you. Oh Allah, we've been totally neglectful of the most important aspect of our lives, our ruh and our heart. Oh Allah, we've been totally immersed in just getting enjoyment for the nafs all the time. Oh Allah, let us realize the akhirat is a reality, oh Allah. Jannat is a reality. Jahannam is a reality. The life of the qabr is a reality. Pul Sirah, 1500 years journey is a reality. Oh, have mercy on us, O Allah. Have mercy on us, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. Let us turn to you in repentance and forgiveness, O Allah. O Allah, forgive our sins. You love to forgive. Whenever anyone asks you for forgiveness, you forgive, O Allah. O Allah, forgive all our sins, O Allah. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa takaffal bi ridha khusumina. O Allah, forgive us all our sins. Make our islah, O Allah. O Allah, the ruh is supposed to be in charge of us, and we have given leeway and free way to our nafs all the time. We just doing everything for our nafs. O Allah, let the ruh come in charge. The ruh's connection is with akhirat, it is with Jannah, and then we will get the enjoyment of Jannah, O Allah. Bring it to us, and thereby make us ordained to make mankind come towards Islam. Because our nafs, which is kuffar also have got their nafs, they also follow in their lust, and they follow it more, so they feel there is no difference between us and Muslims, between their religions and between Islam. But let our ruh be in charge of Allah, and in that way, when they will see that what peaceful life we are leading, then they will also come into the fold of Islam. Oh Allah, open the door of Islam. Oh Allah, let us not be the people who are closing the doors of Islam. Oh Allah, let us be the means of the hidayat of mankind, oh Allah. And let mankind, let all jinn and all men enter into the fold of Islam, oh Allah. Put our heart, our children's heart, our wife's heart, our heart, oh Allah, within the sifat, woman ahsan. Oh Allah, you color our hearts, oh Allah. You make them orientated fully towards you, oh Allah. Towards deen, towards akhirat, oh Allah. Rabbana, taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. Wa tub 'alayna ya Mawlana, innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi, sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.